Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Ken Shepherd, along with Dana Lee. And the show's called Making Money in Real Estate When You Have No Money. Our call-in number today is 347-989-1329. I want to read a disclaimer, and then I'll go over a few other things, and we'll go ahead and get started. Please note this show is intended only for the listeners. All investment information contained in the show has been secured from sources Creative Flips, Inc. and Ken Shepherd believes are reliable, but we make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy of the information. The views, opinions, conclusions, and other information expressed in the show are not the responsibility of Creative Flips, Inc. or Ken Shepherd in any manner. Creative Flips, Inc. and Ken Shepherd accepts no liability for the content of the show, or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided in the show. Creative Flips, Inc. and Ken Shepherd recommends that you consult with a financial advisor, attorney, accountant, and any other professional that could help you understand and assess the risks associated with any investment opportunity. Always use your strengths to fund your weaknesses. What we mean by that, basically, is if you have something where you could help somebody else and help yourself in the process, it's always good to do that. When it comes to deal making, if you don't have the money and somebody else needs a deal done and they have the money to buy it, find what they want, get paid, and use the money for what you need. It's kind of just as an example. Website is www.creativeflips.webs.com. Telephone number 24/7 is 310-358-7087. Email fci@packbell.net. Twitter is @KenShepherd and Facebook is Facebook/KenShepherd and Facebook/CreativeFlipsInc. We usually have $300 to $500 million in process, depending on where we are. I've been doing this about 30 years. All the shows in the archives are free. Please tell everybody in the world to listen, download, play them for their friends, and join our radio audience and become part of our network in general. We've closed a lot of business. We have $80 million in closings on our website, many more that are not on there for confidentiality reasons. And we also did a soft proof of funds in the recent past for up to $500 million. One of the ways you can connect with investors is KenRE Radio. That's KenReRadio.com. Connect with over 150,000 investors at no cost and meet a lot of people and close deals and let us know whatever you close. So we're very happy to have you with us today. Again, KenReRadio.com is a wonderful source, and we use it every day ourselves. And it's the biggest on the Internet, and we'd love you to become part of our community there. So thank you very much, and we're about to get ready to the show, so let's talk about the show today.
So first of all, a couple of things, just general housekeeping. We have closed another $100 million deal, up to $100, I should say. That's on our website. We have an update of the radio show, and I say that every week because they keep trying to get to it. And we just get very busy with deals during the week, and it hasn't been possible to do it, but we will do it. We've also closed some other smaller deals. We've had Channing Hobson on the show. He's closed a couple deals with us. And we have a number of things in process right now, as we mentioned in the opening. One of the things that we think is really important, and I was thinking about this last night, you know, because we're constantly trying to think about things that we think are pertinent to everybody that's listening, is we talk to an awful lot of people, and the constant question is, how do I get to the close, right? And I think the answer to that really is one step at a time, and that's why we called this show Focus on the Road Ahead One Step at a Time, or I think that's what we called it. But in any event, the whole idea is that you always want to be thinking about how you're going to get to the close, but don't skip over any steps that are necessary to get to the close. And when I wrote this subject that I was thinking about doing it, and I sent a text last night to Dana, she wrote me back, I like the idea, because I guess she agreed with me. She'll speak for herself, of course, but that this is a very important subject, because what happens is this. You get a property under contract. That in itself is a major feat. And if anybody thinks that it's easy to do that, I would welcome them to call us or talk to us or whatever, because it is not. It's a very complicated process. It takes a lot of energy and a lot of knowledge and a lot of enthusiasm to do that. It just doesn't happen overnight. You don't just send people offers to buy their property at half price and have them respond right away without any pushback. Sometimes you do. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying it's generally not done that way. And once you get to that point, then you have to think about, how do I get from this piece of paper to a piece of paper that I can cash, which is a check or a wire transfer or however you're going to receive your funds. And the process of going from the point of contract to the point of closing is a long and winding road. And it can be, sometimes it doesn't have to be, but it usually has a lot of different blemishes to it and changes and things like that. I don't know if blemishes is the right word, but it has navigation issues, okay? And I don't think I've been involved in very many deals, excuse my voice, by the way, where you don't have a lot of challenges along the way. You know, and the first thing that you always want to know is, how can I get paid? Well, there's a lot of steps that go along with that, and you have to do due diligence. You have to really look at the asset. The due diligence is just a fancy word for research, okay? You have to research the situation. You have to research every part of the deal as best you can. Don't overcomplicate that. It's a house, or it's an apartment building, or it's a shopping center, and there are ways to come to the value without too much brain damage. And what we're hearing a lot is, I'm frustrated with the process of getting to the check. Okay, we get it, and we hear it, and we deal with it every day. But the thing that's really important is, always keep your cool. Never get all upset and blow up at people, because it doesn't help anybody. And just kind of just try and stay on track. Think about a list of things that you know that you need to do to go from that contract, which is the very first step, obviously. You have to find the property, identify it, write the offer, and get it accepted. But once you get it accepted, then there's a process of making sure that there's a checklist of things that you know you have to do in order to get to the closing. Now, if you want a due diligence checklist, we'd be happy to show you how to get one and provide one for you. You can get one from any escrow company or title company, because they keep them every day, because they want you to know all the things you need to do in order to finish a deal. Now, if you're doing it all cash, some of them may not apply, like loan documents and things like that. But a lot of them do apply, no matter what you're doing. Of course, checking the title, making sure there's no liens or judgments, things like that. But we see a lot of people that get anxious about this kind of thing. Like, we're working on a deal with a guy, and he calls me all the time. He says, when are we closing? When are we closing? It's like, I don't know. We have a lot of things to do before that. There's due diligence that has to be done. In this case, it's a piece of financing on debt, and it's $2 million. So the lender has looked at the asset. The lender has looked at the books of the asset. And now they've written an offer. They went to where the asset is, in another city, in another state, partially across the country, actually, and looked at it. And this guy, who's very exuberant and very sometimes talks before he thinks, and I think he'll admit that as we've gotten to know each other, is that you have to think about the steps that are involved in a closing. Now, there's a number of steps that you cannot control. No matter how much you want to, you can't control them. One of the things you cannot control is how fast the title company moves to get to the point of giving you a preliminary title report. Another thing that you can't control is, sometimes lawyers have to look at documents, and people have to look over things, and they have to make decisions about if they're comfortable being attached to a situation, or if they want to adjust it to the point where they are comfortable. But we want you to understand that our whole goal is to bring you to that closing table. Because when you do that, you do four things that are very important to us. You create jobs, feed families, fund companies, and create legacy. And Dan and I have been through this separately and now together a few times, and we're getting more and more into this. And there's a certain pace that you'll see to a deal. And when you have two principals who are both very motivated, you'll know it. And the way you'll know it is they'll be asking constant questions and they'll try and constantly move towards the close. Now, if you're not a principal and you're putting the deal together, you really don't have as much control because you're a middle person, whether you want to call yourself an intermediary, a packager, an agent. I don't care what you want to call yourself. I'd be careful about the agency language because you're not licensed unless you are. But if you're not licensed, I'd be careful about that language. But you could always call yourself somebody that's doing business development. And as long as you stay out of price and terms and you are letting others do that that are principals, then you won't have a problem with agency issue. But if you're a principal, then of course you can do anything you want because you're part of the transaction as a principal. Principal is somebody who's putting their name on documents, signing for things, obligating themselves for certain things, paying the cash, whatever it may be. So what we really wanted to do in this particular show was talk a little bit about pace, understanding, and just appreciating the fact that everybody you're talking to, not everybody, most people you're going to ever talk to in this business are all very busy. Either they're servicing the properties they already own, or the businesses they already own, or both, which real estate is a business, or they're out looking for more product to buy, and they're analyzing transactions and deciding if they want to buy them, or they're looking for investors, or whatever they may be doing, they're busy people. We're busy all day. Dana and I probably take on the average, you know, somewhere between 10 and 20 meetings a day. Very short sometimes, sometimes long. And because it depends on what the meeting's about. If it's just an answer to a question, it can be very quick. If it's to go over a deal, it could take some time. And I think when you look at all the pieces that go along with a deal, one of the reasons we bring people on the show that are actual deal closers and have closed deals, either with us or without us, is because we want it's standard throughout the industry as to what's involved with going from an offer to a close. And when you're anxious, and I appreciate everybody's excitement when they're getting closer and closer to a closing, that's a great feeling. But try to temper your anxiety as best you can, because those around you are lots of times maybe not as their tempo isn't what your tempo is. Maybe that's a good way to say it. It's like a musical term, tempo, right? Do you want to go fast? Do you want to go slow? Well, in real estate, I think sometimes things go fast, sometimes things go slow. And sometimes you can say, oh my gosh, I wish this would move faster. Well, and there are ways to sometimes do that. Like if I wait a couple of days and I don't hear from somebody, I might just send them an email saying, could you please kindly respond to the below? Maybe I'll call them, more likely or not. Maybe I'll text them. But I'll just let them know we're still out there and we're listening to what they're having to say and we're trying to get them the answers to their questions. We're involved in a deal like that right now where this gal has a property. It's 14 units, 12 units, 12 units. And she's working to purchase it. And she has a seller who wants her to close. And if she doesn't close, she has non-refundable money up that she could potentially have go away. We don't want that to happen ever. We always tell people don't put up non-refundable deposits unless you have all the cash to close right now, because otherwise you potentially could lose your financing and you could lose your cash and everything could fall down that way. We're involved in another deal where a guy and his wife put down $5,000 thinking the lender would come through. The lender did not come through. Bank is now saying, when are you closing? Because you're supposed to close. You're supposed to close. We gave you an extension. You're supposed to close. And they're very high anxious. Their anxiety is high because they spent a lot of money on education And it breaks my heart because they spent a lot of money on education. I mean, tens of thousands. And they could have put that money into property. But they didn't put it into property. They put it in education. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with education. I'm just saying that you have to pace yourself through this process, okay? And there's only so much education you can take before you've graduated and you need to go into the real world. I mean, you go to school, you get a bachelor's, you get a master's, you get a whatever it might be, you get an associate of arts degree, you get a maybe you're taking a welding course at an industrial college and you get a degree, and then you have to go into the real world. And we live in the real world, you know. And so what I really want to emphasize, and then I'd like to hear Dana's thoughts too, is, you know, just understand that there are multiple people in every deal. There are multiple personalities in every deal. And if you're the stable one, if you're the stalwart ship in the night that doesn't sink, doesn't sway, and make sure that you're not in choppy water as much as you possibly can be, you'll find that others around you will gravitate towards you. Dana, do you want to add any thoughts here? Because I know that you deal with it every day. You see it every day, close and personal with a lot of the people we're working with and getting them into the point of from contract to closing. And, you know, we talk about this all the time. Do you have some thoughts that you'd like to share?
Well, there's always something that comes up in every deal. It might be something that's on title. It might be something that's confusing because of the way that the property is titled before. And in negotiations, my goodness, there's so many things that come up. I totally agree with you that being the sage and the kind old wise person is very helpful. And fortunately, I'm able to do that a lot of the times. I've mellowed a bit, much like you say about yourself. But real estate, treating real estate investing as a business, we're supposed to be very detached from the asset and the process, and something that's very difficult to do. You know, you always hear, don't fall in love with the property. Fall in love with the profit. So that's not easy to live when you're writing an offer and you spent so much time getting the thing under contract, and now you're coming up against the deadline and the seller is not willing to give you an extension. And there can be so many things that mess with your emotions. But really and truly, you got to hear this. Anger is not a negotiation strategy.
Yeah.
Anger is just anger, and it's just going to slow down the process. It's going to make people less likely to do business with you the next time. It's like, okay, I'm in the middle of this deal. I'll finish this with you, but the next time you're going to have a bunch of ducks lined up before I swim in that pond. You know, this has happened to us recently for me, and we haven't even discussed it, Ken, but anger is not a negotiation strategy. Kindness is, repetitiveness is, restating it a different way, that's a good negotiation strategy, but anger is a deal killer anyway, if it doesn't kill the deal, it'll very likely kill the relationship. Because who wants to deal with pissy people? I don't.
You know, it's important, I think, to understand, try and think about the person on the other side of the table. And, you know, it does have maybe something to do with seasoning of, you know, having done this, both of us now 30-plus years. But I just think that, you know, you just have to, no matter what, you just have to just, somebody said to me ebb and flow the other day, you know, and life is an ebb and flow, right? Things happen. You don't expect it. Somebody gets ill. You don't expect it. You know, things happen. Hurricanes, whatever. These things earthquakes. I mean, you know, I could be sitting here talking to you guys, all of a sudden there's an earthquake, okay? And the building starts to collapse. I mean, it can happen. I hope to gosh it never does, but it could. So what we kind of look at is we say, okay, how do we keep everybody managed? How do we make everybody feel like they're valued? How do we always be nice to people and say things that they're going to hear because they don't hear it that often? Thank you. They don't hear thank you as often as they should. They don't hear I appreciate you as often as they should. And I'm not telling you to write them and send them flowers or anything. I'm just saying, if you just write somebody and say, thanks for your time today, I know you're busy, you'd be amazed what that'll do for you. And, you know, I do it all the time. Dana knows, you know, I write all the time, thanks for taking the time. Out of nowhere, I'll just write back to somebody, thanks for your time today, appreciate it. That's it. No flower, email, just thank you, okay? And I try and write in a way that, you know, it's all about appreciating other people and how they feel, you know, and say, I hear you, I understand you. We may have differences on how we look at things, but we try and figure out how to arrange something so everybody gets part of what they want, if not all of what they want. Most of the time, you will not get all of what you want. It just doesn't work that way. No matter how much you pound the table, it's not going to work that way. But you know what? Better to get something than nothing. It's like I was talking to this guy the other day. He's got a deal where there's a potential liability because of how the deal was structured, and he could potentially lose some money. And I showed him a path which got him to a point of showing him, perhaps, in my opinion, how he could make, with him and his partners, us being one of those partners, a profit that's very substantial, middle five-figure number, meaning somewhere in the $10,000 to $99,000 range, right? Five figures. And in the mid five-figure number versus taking a loss, it was kind of a process of saying, which road do you want to go down, right? Do you want to go down the road that you know is going to make a loss for you and wipe it off your books and take the loss? Or do you want to go down a more painful road that's going to take more time, that's going to be really hard, okay? And it's going to take a lot of energy and a lot of deep breaths and stuff. But at the end of the day, we think there's a $50,000 or so pot at the end of the rainbow. Not bad, right?
Not bad, and you get to get your money back. That's
You recover your money. You don't
think it's a win-win.
You make a profit. You don't make as much profit as you might have wanted to make, but you make a profit. Everybody gives a little bit to get it done, and it gets done. You know, and that it's really important for people in general, and I'm only giving you some examples, but these are all real-world examples of what we're dealing with here. These are not just made up out of thin air. These are true examples of deals we're in the middle of right now. And it takes patience, it takes clarity, it takes focus, it takes organization to go through the process of contract to close. Okay, it's not an easy path. You know, if you want to have a guarantee, then you need to go get some form of job that pays you a guarantee for your time. You're trading your time for cash. That's it. That's what a job is. You're trading your time for cash, whether it's working as a clerk in a store or whether it's working as an attorney or CPA or president of a company. You're trading your time for cash. In our business, you're trading your time for, how can I put it?
Let me try that one.
Okay.
For me, I'm trading my time for control of my time,
mm-hmm.
for control of my life,
mm-hmm.
for the ability to direct my own wealth, make as much as I am able to make with my knowledge and my time and my effort. And
your resources.
And to create a legacy for my family.
Yep.
That's what the trade-off is. I'm not going to a 40 to 60-hour a week job and trading my energy, my time, for a paycheck that leaves me exhausted at the end of the week so that I have very little time to spend with my family. Thank you. Thank you, Goddess. I appreciate that. I have, you know, that's the trait.
Yep. And all of it comes back to focus and working towards the close, right? And making sure that every step of the way when you run into an obstacle, and you will run into obstacles, that you take a deep breath and you think about things before you speak. You know, and sometimes, like my dad used to tell me, if it's a major decision you're going to make, just say, could I please call you back? And then just think about it. You know, you don't have to make a decision on the spot. You could say, can I have an hour? Can I have a, you know, I told these guys last night in the middle of this deal, I said, I want you to take 2 or 3 hours and just think about what we've been discussing for a while, you know, and then see how you feel. Come back to it. Go off and play with your kids. You know, go off and do whatever else you need to do in your day. And then let's come back and revisit it and let's talk about it and let's come up with a solution. And we did that, and it worked out really well. But I think there's a certain pacing to everything. And if you get ahead of the pace, like if you're thinking, okay, where's my closing statement, and you just opened up a contract, you're ahead of yourself. The next step would be open up your contract. You want to get a preliminary title report, right? Because you want to know what's going on with the asset. If it's real estate. If it's not real estate, then you have to do the due diligence and look at the records and books. But what we're trying to say, as best we can, is don't get flustered, don't get frustrated, don't get angry, just stay focused, stay persistent in a nice way, not every 5 minutes, but, you know, every day or two, that's fine. If you feel like you're being... Think about the guy on the other side. If you think you're asking him too much, or you're calling too often, or you're writing too often, then say, I don't really mean to, I'm so sorry if I'm disturbing your day, but I just want to ask a quick question. And you just write your question in an email. And people will tell you, if you're taking too much of their time, they'll say, I can't talk about this right now. Can we talk about it later? You know, and you have to be respectful of all kinds of things that happen that are just in the middle of deals. People pass away. I've had that happen. People get sick. Just all kinds of things happen. You know, it's life, right? Somebody's driving to the closing, and they get hit by a car. I mean, you could either get angry or you could be compassionate. Which one do you think is going to get you further in your relationship, not only with that person, but in your internal relationship with yourself, that you did what somebody you want somebody to do for you if the circumstances were reversed, right? You know, would you want them to be saying to you, oh, my God, why aren't you at the closing table? Meanwhile, you're in an ambulance, right? Or would you want them to say, I'm really sorry you couldn't make it. We can reschedule it. It's not the end of the world, right? You know, little things mean a lot. I'll kind of say that. And I know we've kind of touched on a lot of things here, but it's really all about being focused, being driven, thinking about where you're trying to go, making sure you have a path to get there. Follow that path and make sure you're organized as you go through all the steps from the contract to the close. Hopefully it's been helpful for you, all you guys to listen, if they're listening, to have this information, because this is what we deal with every day. Anyway, we have about a minute left. Dana, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you guys can reach out to us at mydeal at dealswithkd.com or dealswithkd@gmail.net. I'm sorry, gmail.com. You can also visit us, dealswithkd.com, online. Check out what we do. You can listen to our radio show there, and you can give us an information about your deal. Text us at 269-849-9510. Voicemail, guys, I'm probably about 3 days behind on voicemail, so please kindly text if you will. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I'm real behind on voicemails, and I'm not good with getting back to people on voicemail, so please send me email. I said that, and hopefully that helps out. So we hope everybody has a great rest of the week, and we hope this is productive information for you. We're about to lose our airtime. And we just lost our airtime just about now. There it's gone. So I have another call that I have to run to it at 8:30 California time. Enjoy,
I'll meet you there.
Enjoy your Labor Day, and yeah, we'll see you there at the Conference Bridge. And thanks again for spending time with us and listening to us and being part of our growing community. We really appreciate everybody, every day, and all the support you give us by listening to the shows and sharing that information with all of your associates, so everybody does better at the end of the day. Okay? Thanks again for listening. We'll talk to you right away. Have a good day. Bye.